Derek Kettering went straight to the Negresco, where he ordered a couple of cocktails and drank of them rapidly. Then he stared moodily out over the dazzling blue sea. He noted the passers-by mechanically. A damned dull crowd, badly dressed and painfully uninteresting. One hardly ever saw anything worthwhile nowadays. Then he corrected this last impression rapidly, as a woman placed herself at a table a little distance away from him. She was wearing a marvellous confection of orange and black, with a little hat that shaded her face. He ordered a third cocktail. He stared out to sea again, and then suddenly he started. A well-known perfume assailed his nostrils, and he looked up to see the orange and black lady standing beside him. He saw her face now, and recognized her. It was Morel. She was smiling that insolent, seductive smile he knew so well. "Derek," she murmured. "You are pleased to see me, no?" She dropped into a seat the other side of the table. "But welcome me then, stupid one," she mocked.
"This is an unexpected pleasure," said Derek.
"When did you leave London?" She shrugged her shoulders. "A day or two ago."
"And the Parthenon?"
"I have, how do you say it, given them the chuck."
"Really?
You are not very amiable, Derek."
"Do you expect me to be?"
Morel lit a cigarette and puffed at it for a few minutes before saying, "You think perhaps that this is not prudent so soon?" Derek stared at her, then he shrugged his shoulders and remarked formally,
"You are lunching here?"
"Mais oui, I am lunching with you."
"I am exceedingly sorry," said Derek. "I have a very important engagement."
"Mon Dieu, but you men are like children," exclaimed the dancer.
"But yes, it is the spoilt child that you act to me. Ever since that day in London when you flung yourself out of my flat, you sulk."
"Ah, mais c'est inouï."
"My dear girl," said Derek, "I really don't know what you are talking about. We agreed in London that rats desert a sinking ship. That is all that there is to be said."
In spite of his careless words, his face looked haggard and strained.
Morel leaned forward suddenly.
"You cannot deceive me," she murmured. "I know what you have done for me." He looked up at her sharply. Some undercurrent in her voice arrested his attention. She nodded her head at him. "Ha ha, have no fear. I am discreet. You are magnificent. You have a superb courage. But, all the same, it was I who gave you the idea that day, when I said to you in London that accidents sometimes happen.